If you missed church last week, or you didn't read the midweek news that went out last week, we let everybody know some great, great news. Over the last 5 years, we've been investing ourselves in this building. We moved in December 22, 2019, and then ever since then, we have been planting some roots down here. And we really wondered whether God was going to allow us to continue to plant roots here, or we were going to have to uproot ourselves and go someplace else, find another building, another community. But the Lord has seen fit, and we are in contract right now on this building property. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. It would have been enough, God, if you just provided us with a space for 5 years where we could invest ourselves and our finances. It would have been enough. But Dayenu, you went over and above, God. You now provided us with the opportunity to purchase this place. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, that being said, we have two town hall meetings coming up, October 23rd and October 29th. Both of those will be on Zoom. They'll be identical meetings to give you an opportunity. You don't have to attend both of them unless you really, really want to. The building committee is going to be sharing an update on the process from here today to the time that we plan to close, which is early December. By the grace of God. And I'm sure you have questions, and so you can bring those questions to either one of those Zoom meetings. So mark your calendar, October 23rd and October 29th. And then we're going to have a vote as a congregation on November 3rd. November 3rd. Thank you very much. In person. It will not be on Zoom. It will be in person. And so those of you who come to the 11 o'clock service, you just stick around after the 11 o'clock service for that vote. If you decide to come to the 9 o'clock, then we invite you to come on back on November 3rd. All of those dates are in our Church Center app as well as on our website under the Events tab. In case you missed anything that I said, you can get all of that information in detail there. Is that good news or what? Yes, it is good news. It is good news, good news. My primary emotion has been one of relief because over the last 9 months, we've been up and down and back and forth. They were no, maybe, no again, maybe, 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 you know, kind of yes. And so here we are today. I am relieved, but I am also excited. And it's no coincidence that we are in this sermon series called Compelling Invitations. We didn't know we were going to be here. God knew we were going to be here and knew this was the message that we needed to be speaking on over the course of 5 weeks, because this is a message series about preparation for those who are going to come into faith. It's an evangelistic sermon series, but not evangelistic in the way you might think or expect an evangelistic sermon series to be. You might have expected, Chad, when you came into Sanctuary in this Compelling Invitations sermon series, that an evangelistic message would be about how to receive Jesus Christ. What is it that you need to do in order to believe? This message series, James, is not for the unbelieving. It's actually for the believing. This whole 5 weeks is about getting Christians right. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, we give you a pass today. You can turn off your ears right now. I just want to talk to the Christian folk. I just want to talk to the folk who are supposed to know what the kingdom of God is like. I want to talk to the folks because in Luke chapter 14, where we are for 5 weeks, Jesus is at a dinner party of a Pharisee who invites him to come and be the center of attention. But not the kind of center of attention where he is being honored, but to be the center of attention because they want to trap Jesus. They want to catch him in the act of healing. That was the first message. The first message was all about them bringing this man who had a disease, a skin disease. And because it was on the Sabbath, they tested Jesus to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath day, because in their law, healing wasn't even permitted on the Sabbath. And so the first message was about setting the table with compassion. These Pharisees, they did not have any compassion on the man who was sick, but Jesus broke the law and healed the man because he had compassion on him, giving us the invitation about whether or not we have compassion for those who are sick and those who are hurting. Jesus said in his whole message, I didn't come for those who are already well. I came for those who are sick. I came for those, not for the ones who are already found. I came for the lost so that they might be found. I didn't come for the people who got it all together. I came for the people who don't got it all together. And Jesus wanted these Pharisees to understand what makes a compelling invitation is not what information you have, it's the character that you have in which you give it. And so the first message about setting the table with compassion was followed up with a message about humility and hospitality that were like twins, two sides of one coin. You must have humility when you compel somebody to come follow Jesus. Don't act like you know everything. Don't act like you got it all together. Don't act like you're supposed to be the first one at the table. Step aside. Let somebody else get there so they can hear the message. You should be doing all that you can do to prepare, the way for somebody else. Set the table with humility and hospitality. And today's message is about honesty. Sounds strange. How do we get honesty out of this Luke 14 passage? We get honesty out of this Luke 14 passage in much the same way that you get honesty when somebody sends you an evite to go to a party. You know, you get that evite, and then there's four letters that cause you all kind of nervous tension, Connie. Those four letters are R-S-V-P. R-S-V-P, and right there in that moment, you're like, ooh, do I RSVP now, or do I do it later? What time is the event? And is OSU playing that night or the crew? Are the crew playing that night? Because that's going to determine whether or not I say yes to this RSVP. Or what I like to do, I like to see who else is on the guest list, Marja. Like, who else is going to be there? Oh, and if you hide the guest list, you are wrong. Why are you going to hide the guest list? Because you know people making decisions about whether they're going to come based on who else is there. And sometimes, Marvin, I'll even have the audacity, to hit yes on the RSVP, but if something else come up, ooh-wee, I'm a no-show. Rich, I thought you were going to make it. Yeah, something else came up. And that's the context of Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. Follow along with me if you can. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Let me pause right here for just a second. Jesus has done all of this teaching, and then somebody breaks up the teaching with some fancy words, like they're trying to impress Jesus. I got it, Jesus. I hear what you're saying, man. Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God, right? Yeah. Did I get the answer right, Jesus? And Jesus says these words. This is how he responds. Let me tell you a story. A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. But without exception, they all began to make excuses. Everybody say excuses. Yeah. The first one said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I just got married and therefore I am unable to come because I am wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in marriage. They didn't, you fill in the blank. So the servant came back and reported all these things to his master, and then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, all right, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. Master, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Then the master told the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. This is the word of the Lord. People said, thanks be to God. Let this word fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Now, if you're taking notes, the title of the message today is, did you RSVP honestly? Did you RSVP honestly? You see, this dinner celebration that was taking place where Jesus was invited, in which he was to be trapped, was an opportunity that Jesus took to explain the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was his primary message. And in the first week, we said that the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God as God intended it to be. It is the way that God intends it to be. We pray this prayer often, right? Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is a kingdom of God kind of prayer. Lord, your will in heaven is beautiful and perfect and kind and reconciling and healing and forgiving. Let that come here on earth, we pray. And Jesus tells the parable that God's kingdom is like a grand banquet where we are the first to be invited. Imagine being the first one invited to the party. It's kind of filled with a lot of privilege, maybe even a little bit of pride. And Jesus tells the story here that the invitation was given to the first group of people. And he told them about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, throughout the Gospels, Jesus describes the kingdom of God. One of the ways he says is the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure where somebody finds some buried treasure. They hide it back. They go and sell everything that they have to buy the land all around it because the kingdom of God is valuable, more precious than any possession. He says that the kingdom of God is like a growing seed that you plant in the ground, you leave it overnight, you come back, and it has taken over everything, reminding us that the kingdom of God is not something that you can manipulate. It's something that is based on the timing and the power of God. It's not based on what I can manufacture in order to make that seed grow. That is God's work. The kingdom of God is like that. And then lastly, here in Luke 14, it's like a grand banquet. Imagine the most beautiful banquet with the most beautiful table settings and the best of foods that is there available for everyone. They've even got gluten-free options there. Everybody is taken care of, okay? Nobody is left out of the banquet. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like this grand banquet. It is a beautiful celebration where every need is met, where there is more than enough to go around for everyone, and you are invited. And who's the you here? Theologians tell us that the you who were the first ones invited were the children of Israel. God's promised chosen people that he chose out of the wilderness, out of their own despair and poverty, and brought them to himself. They were the first ones to receive the invitation. And even more specifically, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the ones who were supposed to be teaching others, they were the first ones to receive the invitation to come on to this grand banquet celebration. It reminds me of the family reunions that we used to have on my uncle's farm in Maryland. My mom is one of 16, and all of her siblings and their children and grandchildren, and in some cases great-grandchildren, were gathering together at this big old tobacco farm in Maryland, where we would walk around and be like, who are you? And they would say, oh, that's your second cousin, twice removed. Oh, okay. I didn't even know he was related. And the food and the partying and the celebration was incredible. You know, when we try to have a family reunion today, you can't get half of the folks to come. Can't get them to come. What's the occasion? Where is it going to be? Are we going to be able to go to Disney? this year. I mean, the folks are thinking about all of the reasons why they might want to come, but also the reasons why they can't. And the excuses begin to pour in. I'd love to, but I just can't make it. That was the next part of this parable that Jesus shared with those who were in that dinner party. Hey, he went to go give them the invitation. They said yes. That's what happened in that culture. They gave their yes. But then when the servant went out to go get them and say, all right, y'all, come on. Food is ready. The band is here. The DJ's here. We even got mariachi for those who like mariachi. Come on and get this band action in. They started giving excuses. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. When we offer excuses for not responding to the kingdom of God, they reveal our misplaced priorities. When we offer excuses for not responding to the kingdom of God, they reveal our misplaced priorities. The first person who came and spoke up and said, yo, I can't make it. I purchased some land that I need to go check on. That was the excuse of possessions. I have some possessions that I need to take care of. I got some material things that are occupying my time that I have to take care of. The second person came and said, yeah, I can't come because I just bought me a whole bunch of cattle and I got to test these bad boys out. That was the excuse of work. Work had gotten in the way of receiving the kingdom invitation that was extended to them. And then the last person said, you know, I would love to, but I got married. And listen, in the Jewish culture, it was actually permitted to step back from responsibilities when you first got married. And so the excuse was really a valid one, to be honest with you. It was like, yo, I mean, the law says I can chill out here because I just got married. I don't have to serve this year because I get a year off from serving. I get a year off from giving. I get a year off from hosting people, you know, in my house because I got to make sure that my marriage is straight. It's the excuse of relationships. And it makes me wonder, followers of Jesus, what kind of excuses do we give to not following the kingdom of God in our lives? You see, when you became a follower of Jesus, when you said yes to the Lord, when you gave your heart, mind, soul, and body to God, God said, this is the kingdom work that you are now involved in. You are involved in spreading, sharing, giving, inviting others into the kingdom of God. You, beloved, I love you, but your salvation was not just for you. Your healing was not just for you. Your deliverance was not just for you. Your freedom was not just for you. The gifts, the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, they were not just for you. They were meant for you to go and share with others. But my first question is, you said yes to Jesus. Is your life really reflecting that? Or have possessions gotten in the way? Have relationships gotten in the way of you saying yes to Jesus? Has your work gotten in the way of you giving your all to the Lord? We make excuses for not attending, you know, church or small group. We make excuses for not extending ourselves to those who are in need. We make excuses for not giving ourselves generously to those who are in despair and those who are hurting because we got to take care of ourselves first, right? We use the analogy, and it does work in some, you know, a lot of cases. If you're on that airplane and, you know, those airbags come down, you're supposed to secure your mask first, so that will give you the strength to secure somebody else's mask, right? You got to take care of yourself first. But that doesn't apply to everything. We try to apply that to everything. I can't give, you know, financially right now because I got to take care of myself first. I can't extend myself, you know, to go spend time with others who are hurting because listen, I got my own stuff I'm dealing with over here. I got my own. I can't serve anywhere. I need somebody to come serve me. Hello, somebody. We try and we try and we try with a good heart and a good intention to take care of ourselves, but it becomes an excuse for actually doing the works that God has invited us to do. Have you received the kingdom of God in your life? The servant says, all right, master, I went and I did. Here's the excuses they came back with. And Jesus said, all right, okay. Go to the poor, go to the lame, go to the blind, go to the maimed, and invite them to come. And so the servant does. The servant goes out. He invites the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And he says, you know what? There's still room in the banquet. The hall is not full. There are empty chairs. There are empty rooms. And the master says, man, I really, really, really want this place to be full. I want this place to be filled. I don't want to waste any food. I don't want to waste any of the wine. I don't want to waste any of the dancing. I don't want to waste any of the celebration. So go even further out. Go even further to the hedges and the highways and the byways. And the theologians tell us that those hedges, highways, and byways were the Gentiles. The folks who were furthest away from Israel, the folks who were furthest away from promise, the folks who were furthest away from receiving the kingdom of God, Jesus says, listen, this is how this invitation is going to go. Y'all are going to get the invitation first. Then the other people who are imperfect, that you think don't belong here, they're going to get the invitation second. And then thirdly, we just going everywhere. We're going all out. And everyone gets an invitation. And everyone, beloved, means everyone. There is room for everyone in the kingdom of God. Can y'all say this word with me? This is a word, this is like a sanctuary word. Everybody. You know what everybody means? Everybody. Thank you. Thank you, John. Everybody means everybody. Even the people you don't think belong in the kingdom of God. Even the people you think shouldn't get an invitation to the banquet. The people you don't agree with politically. The people you don't agree with sociologically. The people you don't agree with how they use their bodies and their sexual orientations, the people you don't agree with across the street from you, the people you do not agree with. Jesus says the kingdom invitation is to everybody. But wait a minute, Lord, what about this behavior and what about this belief? You got one message that you need to share, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for our sins on a cross, was buried in a grave, rose from that grave on the third day with all power in his hands, and those who believe in him receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as they surrender their lives to him. That's it. Wait a minute, but what about? Well, tell me, but what about? What about you? Have you forgotten what it was like to be a sinner before you got saved? Have you forgotten what it was like to be without Jesus? Have you forgotten about yesterday and the day before that? Have you forgotten about how good the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God is? And if you knew how good and how great it was, you would be celebrating from the rooftops. You would be the one who got that invitation, and you would run to the banquet. You wouldn't make any excuses, and you would bring everybody you could along with you because of how great and how awesome it is to be in the fellowship of the kingdom of God. And I wonder if we have that kind of passion. I wonder if we have that kind of urgency, where we see the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, and we say, Lord, I am not going to waste my invitation by giving you an excuse. I am not going to waste my invitation with some idle worship of possession or work or relationship. God, I respond to you with my yes so that others might be able to receive it as well. Here's the last thing. God's invitation, though, doesn't wait forever. God's invitation doesn't wait forever. He invited the first group of people. And if Jesus was telling this story today, that first group of people would be Christians. The invitation was to those who believed, those who saw the kingdom of God in history, those who experienced the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God and God's protection. They were the first one. If Jesus was telling this story, Laurel, he would say to you, do you receive this invitation of the kingdom of God? He would say, Adrian, do you receive this invitation to the kingdom of God? Matt, he would say to you, did you get your invitation? Did you get the e-vite? Because you know on the e-vite, it lets them know when you opened it. Seen. That's why I don't even click on that joint until I'm ready. I don't even click on that e-vite until I am ready to give a response because they know it's been seen. Ooh, the algorithms these days. God's invitation doesn't wait forever. And evangelism, reaching others for Christ, begins by speaking the truth honestly to ourselves. Have we received the kingdom of God? Have we received the urgency of this invitation? It begins with being honest about your own response to the kingdom that is here right now. Not in some far-off place. Not in some far-off time. It's not here in full, but it is here and it is present. The kingdom of God is here and it is present. And those who consider themselves followers of Jesus ought to be shouting it. The kingdom of God is here. What would happen if we received our invitation rather than rejected it? I think we'd be more like the servant who is sent out time after time, go and compel them to come. And we would come back to the master and we would say, Lord, the banquet is still not full. And he'd say, go back out and compel some more people to come. Because I ain't done until this kingdom is full. What does that mean for us, Sanctuary? It means that what we're doing is more than this building. That the excitement we all feel and we sense when we hear the news, we're in contract, ought to pale in comparison to the good news that you have received the salvation of your soul. And that we are excited about our relationship with Jesus and excited about sharing that relationship with others so that they can receive their invitation as well. Praise God for this building. And by the grace of God, we will see wonderful miracles that we saw and sang about even in the worship earlier today. But even more so, may our hearts be right sanctuary so that our compelling invitations truly are compelling and not turning people away from Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are a part of your family because of your grace and your mercy. Paul said, even in his highly matured following of you, that he was the chief of sinners. Not because his behavior was sinful, but because he understood, Lord God, of his need for you and the world's need for you as well. May we have the same type of humility that Paul had to say, Lord, we are not perfect, but we do serve a God who loves us perfectly. May that be the compelling message that we share here in Columbus, Ohio. May it be the compelling message we share with family and friends, even who are far. May you work in and through us, Lord, so that our words and our actions reflect the joy of our salvation that we received when we first said yes to you. In Jesus' strong name we do pray. Amen. Beloved, the first call today, the first call is to those who say and have said already yes to the Lord. I read a book a long time ago by a pastor named Brian Laritz. The title of the book was Jesus Came to Save Christians. Jesus came to save Christians because Christians had lost their way. They had forgotten their purpose. They had forgotten that they were saved so they could share the message with others, not hoard it to themselves, not be some kind of desk host checking to see, oh yeah, you made it. You don't. You surely don't. You do. Jesus wants to make sure that we get this kingdom of God message right so that we can share it with others. And for those of you who are not followers of Jesus, that invitation is extended to you. We extend that invitation to come and say yes to the Lord, to start that relationship with Jesus, and to join in on the celebration. Our heart and our desire is not just for this thing to be good for us, but to be good for the world, and starting with you. Thank you. All right, Dr. Hines. Praise the Lord.